Okay, today's daf is Baba Kama daf Chaf Ches. We are holding on the bottom of the Chaf Zayin Amud Beis, about 12 lines from the end of the page. We're going to pick up from Di Itmar, about 12 lines from the end of the page. We're going to discuss essentially two topics in today's daf. The first topic that we're going to discuss that takes us all the way through Amud Aleph with many, many rayas is whether Ovid Inish Dino L'Nafshei or Lo Ovid Inish Dino L'Nafshei. Is a person allowed to take the law into his own hands? If a person knows that he's owed money, can he go and take that money? And is there any chilik between a situation where he's not able to otherwise retrieve that money, or if he is otherwise able to retrieve it? We're going to have, as I mentioned, many, many rights. Then in the Mishnah, on the bottom of Amud Aleph, the Gemara is going to talk about if someone breaks a jug or something that had a liquid in it, in a Rishos HaRabim, and the broken shards of the jug or the liquid that spilled out caused damage to somebody else. Are you responsible for the thing that you broke, that you dropped in Rishos HaRabim, doing damage by accident? It's not like you placed the bar in the Rishos HaRabim. You dropped something and it created a situation of bar Rishos HaRabim. So Gemara is going to talk about different situations. If a person is physically hurt, if he's hurt by the item itself, or if he's hurt by the impact to the ground after he came in contact with the item. So again, we're picking up from 12 lines from the end of the page, and of Chaf Zayin Amud Beis. Di Itmar, there was a machlokas as follows. Rav Yehuda Amar, lo avidin ishtinu nafshei. Rav Nachman Amar, avidin ishtinu nafshei. Rav Yehuda says that a person who has some sort of claim against somebody else is not allowed to take the law into his own hands forcefully. He has to go to a Beis Din and go through the proper channels. Whereas Rav Nachman says a person is allowed to take the law into his own hands. So says Mar, hey, chadika pseida, in a place where he's going to lose money if he goes to Beis Din, then everyone would agree that he's allowed to take his law into his own hands, as long as the Rush points out, and it's critical, later on he's going to be able to prove that he was correct in terms of his din. Otherwise the person could always say, oh yeah, of course this guy owes me money, he owes me $1,000, so I'm taking $1,000 from him. No, you have to be able to show that he was actually correct lahalach afterwards. Ki pligi hecha deleka pseita, the machlokas is in a situation where he wasn't going to lose. If he would have gone to Beis Din and he would have gone through the proper channels, he could have gotten his money back. That's where Rav Yehuda Amar lo avid inish dinu l'nafshei, that one may not take the law into his own hands. You have to go through the proper channels to give him the luck of say the lazy kami dayana, because since there's no loss involved, let him just go to dayanim and take care of it properly. Rav Nachman Amar, Avid Inishdil Nafshe, the person can take the law into his own hands to keep it the bedin of it, lo tarach. Since he's taking what he rightfully deserves, he doesn't have to burden himself by schlepping all the way to Beis Din. It's good enough. And we paskin like Rav Nachman that Avid Inishdil Nafshe, even when there's no loss, if he were to go to Beis Din, and it's only if he's able, but as we said, only if he's able to prove that what he actually took was really his. There is a machlokas rishonim, though, in terms of explaining this machlokas. Does everyone agree that you're allowed to take money, and they just argue whether you're allowed to lahakos as a gazlan, whether you're allowed to punish the gazlan, or does everyone agree that you're definitely not allowed to hit him or physically punish him in any way unless there's a hefsid? The whole machlokas is about the heter to take money from him. The Rush writes that the ikar machlokas is, are you allowed to punish him physically for what he did, in order to, not for what he did, but to not punish, but to force him physically to give you back your money, to beat him up until he gives back the money. But to take the money or the item that's actually yours, even Rabbi Yehuda would say that that's okay, and even if there would be no loss in going to the Beis Din, and that's what the Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch in the name of the Ma'arik, and that's how the Gra paskins as well. However, the Rambam sounds not that way. The Rambam in the second paragraph of the Sanhedrin Halacha Yud Beis holds that even though we pass like Rav Nachman that a person is allowed to take the law into his own hands, it never says that you're allowed to beat anybody up. It's only that you're allowed to stop him from doing the Isser by taking back your money, but not to beat anyone up. The Shita of the Rambam is the Machlok Sfin Rav Yudah Rav Nachman is not about beating the guy up. That's going to be Isser unless there's going to be a Hefsid or something like that, or a Lafrusha Me'esura. But the Machlokas is, are you allowed to take the money without beating him up? And the reason Rav Yudah says no, even without beating him up, is because that's what Beis Din is for. Only Beis Din has the right to take money away. A Baldin doesn't have the right to go and take money away on his own. So according to this, Rabbi Yehuda holds, if a person does take the law into his own hands and he takes money from the Gazlan without any physical force, even though he's able to show that he was really owed the money and that it was really his, But if there's some sort of nezik or hefsid to the mammon, or hefsid mammon to the gazlan, because of that tfisa, you're going to be chayiv in those damages, because you were going beyond what you were permitted to do. A person is not permitted to do that. So that is the fundamental machlokes rishonim. A lot more to say about that, but let's go on. So says Gemara, Alaska Kashan Rav Yehuda, Masiv Rav Kana. Rav Kana asks Rav Yehuda from the following Tosefta. Ben Bagbag said that if there's an object that belongs to you that someone else has, Al Tikaneis L'Chatzir Chaver Chalita L'Shel Chashal Abrishus, do not go into someone else's property to take back your item without permission. Shemetira Lav Kiganav. You're going to look like a ganav. El Shavar Ashinav. Rather, you should go in forcefully. Ve'amorlo and tell him, Shali Ani Notel. I'm taking my thing. Meaning, don't sneak in. Sneaking around. Go right at him and tell him, this belongs to me, and therefore I'm taking back what's rightfully mine. So you see from here that you're allowed to make a din liatzmo. You're allowed to take the law into your own hands, even if you're not going to lose out. Some of the Yisra'el says back to Rav Kahana, he said, imach, is that really a kasha? Ben Bagbag yichidoihi, upligi rabbanon alei. Ben Bagbag zadasi after the rabbanon disagree, and they hold that you're not allowed to go and take the law into your own hands when there's not going to be any hefsid. Another answer says, Rabbi Yani says that even according to Ben Bagbag, a person is not allowed to take the law into his own hands without a makam hefsid. My shavar hashinav badin. You know what he meant when he said go break his teeth? He meant you should go with a strong legal argument to a beis din, but that's all he meant. Ask Mari Ihachi, if that's the case, Ve'emorlo, why does it say Ve'emorlo? You should say to him. It should be Ve'omrim lo mi bayile. It should be that they say to him, meaning the beis din is the one that speaks to him. Shali ani notel, and also Shali ani notel, Shalohu notel mi bayile. It shouldn't be that I'm taking my thing. It should be that we're going to collect his thing, because it's the beis din talking. So Kasha, so the Rav Yana's teretz is actually not such a great teretz, and therefore we are left with a question on Rav Yana's teretz, but we can still stick with the original teretz that Ben Bagbag in Achinami is against Rav Yehuda, but Ben Bagbag is a Dasi Afid. So the Gemara tries to bring another Raya, now a Raya to the Shita that holds that you're allowed to take the law into your own hands even when there's no Hefzid. Tashima, Shor Sha'ala al Gabi Chavir Lahargo. If one ox attacks another to kill it, Uba Balatachton, the owner of the bottom ox, comes to try to save his ox from the attacking ox. Vishamat as Shalom, and he slips his ox out from underneath the ox that's on top. Vinafal Elyon Umes, and the top ox falls down and dies. Potter, the owner of the bottom ox is potter from paying for the damages to the top ox. So my lav b'muad, isn't this b'risa talking about where the top ox was a muad to do damage and therefore would have had to pay nezek shalem if it was brought to a court of law? So deleka pseida, the guy who owns the bottom ox wasn't going to lose by going to a beis din because he would have gotten nezek shalem anyway. So if his ox gets killed, he was going to get fully reimbursed for that. Mm-hmm. And nevertheless, you still see that he's allowed to take the law into his own hands. Says, well, lo, betam. No, maybe the case is that the attacking ox in that situation was a tam, and therefore, since it was a tam, he would have lost out if it would have gone to Beis Din, because he only would have been able to be reimbursed for half of his loss had he gone to Beis Din. But by saving his ox, he's saving the entire loss. So frankly, Mari Ihachi, but if the Braisa was actually talking about a short tam, Eima Seifa, how you can explain the Seifa of the Braisa, where it says that if he doesn't take the bottom ox out from underneath the top one, but rather he pushes the top one off the mace and the top one dies, that chayiv, the guy who owns the bottom ox is chayiv, but if it was a short time, why is he chayiv to pay for that? He did the right thing, that he's trying to save his shor in order to not lose money. He didn't want to lose half of his money. So Gemara says, no, he didn't do the right thing, because he should have slipped out his ox from underneath the top one, and he didn't do that. So now the Gemara tries to bring another raya to the shita that holds that a person is allowed to take the law into his own hands even when it's not a situation of loss. Toshima, the Braisa says as follows, you go and you load up your friend's courtyard with jugs of wine and jugs of oil. Bala chatzer mishaber v'yotze. The owner of the chatzer can break those kadim and leave his chatzer. He doesn't have to tiptoe around or jump over your kadim. He can break them. Mishaber Mitaber b'nichnas, so he can break those kadim and enter his chatzer. So you see over here that he's allowed to take the law into his own hands, to break someone else's property, to break someone else's items, even though there's no, it wouldn't have cost him any extra money to go to Beis Din and take care of it. So Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak, Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak says, nah, not a good raya, not a good raya from this braisa. Mishaber v'yotze lebeis din, mishaber b'nichnas lahavi zuchuyosav. When we say Meshaber V'yotze, it doesn't mean leaving his courtyard. It means he can break them in order to go to Beis Din, in order to get this guy to get his kadim out of his yard. And because Meshaber V'nichnas means he can break the kadim to the extent that he needs to get into his own yard in order to collect evidence that he's going to need to prove his case in Beis Din. But it's all about Beis Din. Says the Gemara, another raya. I think there's raya numbers 3 or 4 already, I think. Tashma says more another raya. Minayin lenirtza. How do I know that an Eved Ivri who had his ear pierced, which means he worked for 6 years and he wanted to stay by his master, so they did the whole piercing ritual, and the halacha is he stays until Yovel. Shekalu lo yamav, where the Yovel year came and his period of service is over. He's supposed to go back home now, but he's not interested in going back home. He wants to stay with his master. V'rabu misraiv bolatzeis, and the master is trying to convince him, go home. V'chava v'asa b'chabura, and the master wounds the eved, trying to shove him out the door to go back home. Shu pater. How do I know that the master is pater for doing that damage? Tamalomar v'lasichu kofer. Lashuv, and the chamdash and losichu kofer lashuv, that you don't take money for an eved ivri who wanted to return back to this state of avdus and remain, not return but really to remain in this state of avdus and not to go free. If you hit him and you wound him on the way of trying to convince him to get out of there, you're not going to have to pay for it. So don't you see from here, a person's taking the law into his own hands, even though there's no hefsid for him, and he's wounding the eved not to stay in his rishus. So it says, Mar hacha ma'iskin and ba'avda ganva. Now the Bryce is talking about this eved is a ganav, he always steals things, so it is a hefsid. You'd lose out if you kept him. If he won the argument, he got to stay, he'd steal all your silver, he'd steal all sorts of things from you. So it says, Mar ad idna lo ganav v'hashta ganav. What do you mean? Until now, he hasn't been stealing, and right now he started to steal. Up until now he was afraid of his master because he was actually meshuba to the master, so he didn't have the chutzpah to steal. But now once he's freed, he's not going to be as afraid of the master, and therefore he's going to have the azus panim. He's going to have the chutzpah to go and steal from him. Now the assumption that the Gemara makes in the kash is a little bit difficult. Why are we assuming that the eved hasn't been stealing this whole time? Isn't it equally plausible to assume that he was stealing the whole time? It's just that the Adam didn't want to get rid of him because he was meshubah to him, and now that his period of avdus is over, now the owner wants to get rid of him. So this is a kasha that the Chidushi Arayvid asks, Shitum Kibetzes asks in the name of the Rashba, and they all explain that if we're talking about an Eved who was previously already a Ganav, the Adam definitely would have gotten rid of him because he's causing him efsid. Furthermore, they suggest, the second answer, an Eved Ganav, there's no Chiddush that you could beat him up if you need to, and you don't need a pasuk for that. When the Gemara says, no, he wasn't a Ganav yet. It means that you're choshe that maybe he's going to be gonev, that you see the way he's eyeing all of your jewelry and your silver and your money, and you know that he's just waiting for the proper opportunity. Says Gemara, another suggested heresy. Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak Omar, no, the Brisa is talking about Be'evet Shemosel Rabu Shivcha Knanis, an Eved whose master had given him a Shivcha Knanis. Up until now, the Eved was allowed to live with her beheter, like the pasuk says. Im Adonav Yitin Loisha, the pasuk says that the master is allowed to give him a wife. V'hashti Isura, but now that the Yovel came and he's really a free man and he wants to stay with the master, really means he wants to stay with the Shivcha Knanis. So the Adon is beating him up. Get out of here! You're not allowed to stay married to a Shiksa. So in that case, everyone is moda that you're allowed to beat him up because he's doing it for his own sake, to stop him from doing an Aveira. So Gemara tries to prove again that a person is, now the Gemara is going to try to prove a person is not allowed to take the law into his own hands, even b'makom hafsid, even if there is a loss. Tashma says Gemara, I'll bring a raya. Haminiach hasakad b'rashus harabim ba'achar v'nitkol ba'ushavara. If a person leaves a jug in a rashus harabim and someone else comes and he breaks that jug, in the Rosh Hashanah. Someone leaves the cow in Rosh Hashanah and someone else comes and trips on it and he breaks it, potter. That's our Mishnah. He's potter from paying for the damage. So the Gemara is medayik. Time with the nitkalba. The reason he's potter from paying for the damage is because he tripped on it. Hashvara chayiv. But if he didn't stop, trip on it and break it, but he purposely smashed it, then he would be chayiv. So you see that even in a situation where the Bala Kadim had no right to leave his kad in the Rosh Hasharabim, and it's not his rights to take up the entire Rosh Hasharabim, and you see that the guy would be chayiv for destroying his stuff. So you see a person's not allowed to take the law into his own hands. You can't just say, oh, this guy left it in the Rosh Hasharabim, I'm going to destroy everything that he left here. So you're not allowed to, even though there is a hefsid, because he's not able to pass down the street. The whole street is taken up with these kadim. So even though there is a hefsid, he's not allowed to take it into his own hands. Says Gemara, not a good raya. Really, even if he does break it, the halacha is that he's still going to be pater. You know why the Mishnah gave an example of nitkal? I did why the Mishnah seifa, because the seifa is going to tell us in Huzak, if the guy that was walking got damaged, then bal chav is chayv benisko. The owner of the barrel is chayv to pay for the damage that was done to him. In that case, didafka nitkal. It's only if it was that he tripped on it and that he wasn't trying to do the damage. Aval shavar lo to who has a knafshe. But if you were to break it, in that case, you can't go smashing someone's thing, get hurt from doing that smashing, and then say, hey, no fair, you owe me money for the damages that were caused to me. So that's why Katani Resha Nitgal. That's why the Resha also talks about a case of Nitgal and not a case of Chavz. Now the Gemara brings another raya that a person may not take the law into his own hands. Toshma, Vikat Sosa Eskapa. The Gemara talks about a woman who embarrasses a man who's beating up the woman's husband to try to save her husband. So she grabs the man by his privates and she embarrasses him. So the Torah says, Vikat Sosa Eskapa. It doesn't mean that we literally cut her hand off. It means Mamon, that she has to pay money to the guy that she embarrassed for the Boshes. So my love, B'sheni Chol Lahatzil, isn't the case where there's no other way to save her husband from this horrible villain. There's no other possibility, and still she's not permitted to go embarrass this guy. So you see from here that even in a case of hefsid, like in this situation where her husband was getting beaten up, still the person is not allowed to take the law into her own hands. Says Gemara, lo, not a raya from here either. She didn't have to grab him by his privates to save him. She could have saved her husband in some other way. She could have beaten the guy over the back with a baseball bat or something, and prevented it without all that embarrassment. But if she would not have been able to save her husband any other way, Petura, she would not have to pay. Frankly, more, but if that's the case, Ihach Yadatani Seifa, when the Seifa wants to come up with a counterpoint, with a contrast, with a case of contrast, what does it say? Vishal Chayada, that it's only if the woman embarrasses the guy who's beating up her husband that she has to pay for the boshes. Prat l'shliach beizdin, as opposed to if the mevayesh is a shliach beizdin, he doesn't have to pay for the boshes because he's doing it with rishos beizdin, and there's no other way. So you see that when there's no other way to save, even the woman will also be pater. So then, but if you're going to say that when there's no other way to save the husband, the woman would also be pater, what do you have to come up with the case of shliach beizdin to explain pater? Liflog v'listen b'didah, make the distinction about the woman herself. When do we say that she's going to be chayiv if she could have saved with some other way of saving the guy? But if there's no other way to save him, then she's going to be patur. That's what it should have said. Says Mar Hachinami, it's exactly what it means to say. It's exactly the point the Bryce is making, that if there was no other way to save, she becomes like a Shliach Bezin. We're not introducing a new case of Shliach Bezin, we're saying she becomes just like a Shliach Bezin, in which case she's going to be Pater. Now the Gemara is going to try to prove from the Mishnah that a person is not allowed to take the law into his own hands again, even when there's a hefsid. Tashma, we learned the Mishnah of Basra. Harei Shai said, Derech Harad Malveres Petoch Sedeyu. If there's a chazaka, the people from the Rosh Hashanah are allowed to walk through your field. And you, the owner of the field, takes that derech that belongs to the Rishus Rabbim, and in exchange, he gives him a separate derech along the side of his field. Because he doesn't like that. They're walking right through the middle of his field. The new path that he has provided them, they get to keep that path. The Rabbim can walk through that path. The old path that he was trying to recover for himself, he's not allowed to recover for himself. He's not allowed to keep for himself. So the Gemara holds that Mikra Din, this switch is Chal, because it says Mashanasa Nasan, but since people have gone on that path, he's not allowed to get them out of there, because he can't, he's not able to be Tovea, everyone in Beis Din. But if you hold the person's allowed to take the law into his own hands, so what that he's not able to go to get them based in? Let him go and take a stick in his hand and stand by the entrance of the pathway with a weapon, and anyone who wants to go in that path, he'll go beat the gesundheit out of that guy. Because right now, he has every right to do that, because he's going to lose. He's going to lose out on his field if he lets these people go through. So from the fact that we say Shalom Loik here, we see that a person is not allowed to take the law into his own hands, and therefore he's going to lose out, and even when he's going to lose out, he's not allowed to take the law into his own hands. Says Gemara, not a good raya. Amratin Mishmei de Rava, Gezerah Shamiyitin Lahem Derech Akalson. No, we're concerned that maybe he's going to take a Derech Yishara from them, meaning the Rabbim had a straight path through the field, and instead he's going to give them this convoluted path to get through the field. So as a way of making sure that he doesn't pull any shtick like that, that's why we make him lose. Mesharshi says the Mishnah is dafka talking about a case where that's exactly what he did, where he gave a derech hakalson, where he gave a convoluted path. And in the third teretz of Rashi, Amar kol min atzad derech hakalson. Who, by definition, any time it's off to the side of the field, that's called a convoluted path. It may be more convenient for some people, but there are other people that as soon as you move the path, it's going to become less convenient for them. So that by definition becomes a derech hakalson. If that's the case, that the Mishnah is talking about a case where the Mishnah is saying that the switch is not chal, and that's why he's not allowed to take from them their path, Amaisha lo lo higio. Why is it that he's not allowed to take from them the path that he gave them? If he can't take back the path that he wants to get back, so how come he at least can't keep the path that he just gave them now? Let him at least say to them, you take your thing and give me the thing I just gave you. I gave it to you under a false premise. So the Gemara says, no, the reason he's not allowed to do that is Mishum to Rabbi Yehuda, Dam Rabbi Yehuda. Dam Rav Yehuda, because Rav Yehuda says, Meitzar Shech Ziku Bo Rabim, once you have a path that a lot of people have tread on and have gotten used to going on, Asur LeKalkalo, you're not allowed to take it away from them, and therefore, since the Bnei Rosh Hashanah started going on that new path that he gave to them, so it's too late, he lost his opportunity to take that path from them. Now the Gemara is going to try to prove from Brisa again, a person may not take the law into his own hands. Tashema will bring another Brisa. Balabai Sheiniach Peya, Mitzarecha, Balabais leaves Peya on one side of his field for the Aniyim to come and take. Uva'u Aniyim and Atul Mitzarecher, and Aniyim come and they take from the other side of the field. Ze v'ze peya. Both what they took and what he left there initially all belongs to the aniyim. The Amr David and Ishtin and Avshay. But if you say that a person is allowed to take the law into his own hands, amai ze v'ze peya. Why are they allowed to take? Excuse me. Why are they allowed to take even what? Why are they allowed to take everything? Why are they allowed to take even what he left for them initially? Once they already decided to take the other side of the field, how can they take two payos? Linkot pasvaleis, let the guy stand with weapons by the side of his field and say, no, you got your pay on the other side, and start chasing everyone away if he's allowed to take the law into his own hands. It's a hafsid, he's going to lose out. Amarava, so Rava says, no, it doesn't mean that the two sides of the field are paya, and he's just allowed to take what, no, it means that he's allowed to take for himself what he initially left for the aniyim. And my zevzepeya, you know what it means when it says zevzepeya, lepotron min ha-maiser, that even the part that he gets to keep for himself, it's pata from maiser, because since initially he had designated as peya, it remains pata from maiser. Why would it remain pata from maiser like peya? Kiditanya, like we learned in a brisa, hamafkir is karma v'hishkan b'boker uvitzro. If someone was mafkir his vineyard and he got up early in the morning and he started harvesting, he started cutting from the vineyard to take for himself after he was mafkir it, chayiv b'peret devolos v'shichcha v'peya, he's chayiv in all the matnos aniyim, even though normally when you get something from the hafkir, you're not chayiv in the matnos aniyim. But you see, the trick this guy pulled is he was mafkir it, but then he took it all for himself, so he's not going to be potter from the matnos aniyim, but since it was hefker in reality, so is pata from meiser, and therefore over here as well, when the balabais leaves pay on one side of the field and aniyim took from the other side, he's pata from meiser, and what he left is paya. So now the Mishnah is going to talk about a person whose kalim broke in Rosh Hashanah and someone tripped on them and got hurt from the broken items that this guy left in Rosh Hashanah, that this guy had dropped in the Rosh Hashanah. Do you have to pay for that? So you have a guy, Nishbrok Adub Rosh Hashanah, Ruvain's walking down the street and he's got a fragile a glass jar of something and he drops it and it breaks. And someone else comes and trips and slips on the water that came out of that glass jug, or maybe cuts himself up from the jug itself, from the broken shards, chayiv. Ruvain is going to be chayiv to pay for the nezek. That's the opinion of Tanakama. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, the miskavin chayiv beino miskavin potter. Only if Ruvain had kavana to go back and take the broken shards and try to gather up as much of the lost liquid, only then does he have to pay, because then it's still his mamon, and it's his mamon amazik, so he's going to have to pay. But if he never intended to go and collect it, he dropped it, he figured, oh well, I guess I lost that, then he's pater from the damages, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, a person is not going to be chayiv on a takala that is not yours. So yes, he left a takala in Rosh Hashanah, but it's not his takala. It's already, he just left it there for anyone to take. It's hefker. Amar Rabbi Damarav says the Gemara, lo shanu ela shetimfu kelev b'mayim. When do we say that he's going to be chayiv to pay? When do we say that he's going to be chayiv to pay for the guy who tripped on it? That's only if the guy's clothing or his kelim got ruined from the water. Aval hu atzmo. But if the person himself slipped and he hurt himself from the impact with the ground, then the owner of the jug, Ruvain, is going to be pater from paying, because karka ola mizikato. It wasn't the jug that hurt him; it was the ground that hurt him. So Rabbi Yehuda goes on and says, "Kia misikame de Shmuel." When I said this in front of Shmuel, Amali, he said, "Michti." Let's analyze this. Avnos akinu maso'o mi baru lamanu. We learned the din of avnos akinu maso'o, of a stone, a knife, a burden, a bundle that damages from bar. That just like a person is chayiv on nezek that his bar does, he's chayiv on nezek that his evan, sakin, and masa that are left in Rosh Hashanah do as well. So mele, what comes out is kulan ani kore behen shor v'lo adam chamar v'lo kelim. Just like when your bar damages Adam, your putter, and when your bar damages Kalin, your putter, so too when your Avnos Akino Masal damages an Adam or Kalin, your putter. But this din that your pater and iske adam that fall into a bar is only linyan katala if the person dies in the bar. Avl inyan zikin adam chayiv v'kelim peturim. But when it comes to damage that was done, then you're chayiv to pay for damage that was done to a human being. But for kelim, you're still going to be pater. So according to Shmuel, the Mishnah is only talking about niske adam, not niske kelim. Because if the guy is going to be chayiv, it has to be that he's chayiv to pay for some physical harm that was done to the human being, not for the death of a human being, nor for nezek that was done to kelim. The Rav, now why would Rav say that if a person trips and he breaks his kelim, so since the whole takal is in Rosh Hashanah, it's a barhu, shouldn't we say that it's pater? Why would Rav say that he's chayiv? So hanimili echadavka karinu. This idea that a person is chayiv on a takala that's left in a shasram mishum bar is only if he was mafkir the items. Avil hechad alaf karinu mamonu. But if he was not mafkir the item that he dropped, then it's not chayiv midin bar. He's chayiv midin mamonu amazik. It's like having a shara amazik. So it turns out machlok as Rav and Shmuel, what type of nezek the Mishnah's mechayiv the guy Ruvain who left this takala in Rosh Hashanah without being mafkir it, what type of nezek he's chayiv for? According to Rav, he's chayiv on niske kelim because it's mamon amazik, but he's pater on niske adam because the karka of the Rosh Hashanah was mazik him. And according to Shmuel, he's pater on niske kelim because it's a din of a bar, but and a bar is pater on kelim, but he's chayiv niske adam because once the Torah is mechayiv the balat takala, even on the chavatra and the karka, the Rosh Hashanah is what causes the takala, so he can't be mechayiv him. So the Gemara is going to ask on Rav and Shmuel from a brisa. Masav Rav Hoshaya, we learned in a brisa quotes a pasuk about bor, and it says v'nafal shama shoro chamor. If an ox or a donkey falls in the bor, and we darshan shor v'lo adam chamor v'lo kelim, that if an adam falls in the bor and dies, or if kelim fall in the bor and break, you're not going to be chayiv. Mikan amru nafal l'tocho shor v'kelav. If a shor with its kelim fell into the bor, v'nishtabru, and the kelim broke, or chamor v'kela v'niskaru, or chamor with his begadim, with his clothing, the cloth that he has on his back, and it gets ripped, chayiv al behema pater al kelim. You're chayiv for the animal, but you're pater for the kelim, because the bar doesn't pay for kelim. Halamaze dome, what is this comparable to? Lavnos kinema so'oshinichim Rosh Hashanah v'ziku. It's like leaving a bundle or a knife or an evan in Rosh Hashanah that does damage. That just like a person who leaves a takal in Rosh Hashanah, he's pater on the niske kelim, so to when you dig a bar, you're pater on the niske kelim. So the Gemara says, wait, how could you learn the din of digging a bar from the din of Avnos Akinim and Asa'o? Adraba, ma doma lezemi ba'ilei. It's backwards. The Torah talks about bar, that's mefurash in the Torah. So you want to tell me I can learn something from something? Tell me I can learn the din of Avnos Akinim and Asa'o from bar, not the other way around. That's what the price really means to say. That we can learn the din of leaving any other type of takal in Rosh Hashanah from the din of Chofer Bar, which it says beferish in the Torah, that your pater and kelim lefichach, emitiach tzilchiso be'evan, chayiv. If a person leaves an evan in Rosh Hashanah and someone else comes, And he's got a jug in his hand and he trips and his jug breaks from that rock, from tripping on that rock, the person who left it is going to be chayiv to pay for the nezek of the jug. So the Gemara explains, how is this a kasha on Rav and Shmuel? So Reisha kasha l'Rav. The Reisha of the Brice is a problem for Rav, because it says that a person leaves a takal in Rosh Hashanah, it's like digging a bar and he's putter in this kekelim. So it sounds like the same is going to be true when you leave your broken pieces of whatever you dropped in Rosh Hashanah without being mafkarit, and that's against Rav, who holds that the Torah is not mechayiv you for a bar unless you were mafkarit. The Seifa kasha l'Shmuel, but the Seifa is a problem for Shmuel, because in the Seifa it says that if someone trips on the stone and he breaks one of his kelim, the bala evan is chayiv to pay for the nezek. So we see from there that since you were not mafkir the takala, you were not mafkir the stone, you're not chayiv mishum bar, you're chayiv mishum mamona mazik, and that's why even for kelim you're going to have to pay, because it's mamono that was mazik. Against Shmuel, who holds that even if you're not mafkir it, it's all just a regular din of bar. So the Reish is a kasha and Rav, the Seif is a kasha and Shmuel, both of them are in trouble now. Says the Gemara, no, you can't do that. They can't both be in trouble, because if you're asking one of the ratios against one, the safe is against the other, that means the ratio and the safe are against each other as well. So you have to do something to solve that price anyway. According to the makshan that you're trying to ask on both Rav and Shmuel, tikshila chigufa, the price itself is problematic. Ratio pater seifa chayiv. It sounds like from the ratio that you're pater when you leave your takala and Rosh Hashanah Rabin without being mafkir, and the safe you're chayiv. Ella Rav Mitaris Tameh, Shmuel Mitaris Tameh. Each one could touch up the Brisa to be perfect according to them. Rav Mitaris Tameh, Rav would explain, Bamedvar Mamurim Ksheiv Kiran. That when do we say that you're Potter? That's only if you were Mafkir the takala. In that case, the whole chiyuv would only be mishum bar. So if Kalim broke your putter, avalov kiran. But if you were not mafkir them, chayiv. Then you're going to be chayiv on Kalim that break, because then it's not midin bar, it's midin mamono amazik. Lefichach heitiach tzalchiso be'evan chayiv. And therefore, if a guy trips on the stone and he drops his jug, you're going to be chayiv to pay for that jug. Shmuel taritz l'tamei, and Shmuel will answer l'shita so. Once we say that Avnosakin Maso is just like a bar, and the guy who leaves it there is Chayiv Mishum Niske Bar, and he's Pater on Kalim, so the Rabbi Yehuda, the Mechayiv on Niske Kalim Bar, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that you are Chayiv on Kalim and Bar, Lefichach, Hitiach Sotchiz Beben Chayiv. Then, according to that cheetah, that you're Chayiv on Niske Kalim and Bar, you're going to be Chayiv for the guy who trips over the rock and he drops his jug and breaks it. Amar Rabbi Elazar lo shanu, this brisa of being chayiv for the jug that the guy drops after tripping over the stone is only al shenitkal be'evan. If he trips on the stone and he drops his kli, the nishov be'evan, and the kli rubs up against the stone, aval nitkal be'karka. But if the person tripped on the karka, and because of that, the nishov be'evan, the jug broke on the stone, Pater, then the guy left the stones Pater from paying for it, because it was the kark of the Rosh Hashanah that really caused the damage, because that's what tripped up the guy in the first place. Kimman delo Rabbi Nassan. That's going against Rabbi Nassan. Who's Rabbi Nassan? Rabbi Nassan was later on in Daf Nun Gimel, that if a shard tam pushes another shard into a bar and it gets damaged in the bar, the balashar of the shard tam, the owner of the shard tam that did the damage, pays a quarter of the nezek, and the balabar pays three quarters of the nezek, because since his bar did the damage, he's going to have to pay whatever goes unpaid by the balashar. So according to Rabbi Nassim, if a person tripped on the karka and the jug that he was holding broke on the stone, the bala evan is going to have to pay kala nezek, everything, because you can't get anything from the balakarka. It's a Rosh Hashanah. There is no balakarka. So according to Rabbi Nassan's point of view, everything should come from the other from the other side. So Ika de Amri, others say that Amar Rabbi Elazar lo tema nitkal be'even nishof be'even. Don't say that we're talking about where the guy tripped on a stone and the jug broke on the stone. Hu de mechayiv avol nitkal bekarka v'nishof be'even pater. But if he were to trip on the karka and break it on the even, that it would be pater. No, don't say that. Afilu nitkal bekarka v'nishof be'even chayiv. Even if he just trips on the ground and he breaks the jug on a stone, even then he's going to be chayiv. Kiman Rabbi Nassan. Then it's going exactly like Rabbi Nassan said, that whatever you can't collect from the one, you're going to be able to collect from the other. Okay, we'll stop there. Be'ez Hashem. Hopefully we'll have an opportunity to say more outside and to have more in-depth shiurim here in Camp Keli. Be'ez Hashem, starting tomorrow, we'll pick up from Rabbi Yehuda Omer.